So we really have to be careful about what we're choosing to put on our bodies, what we're including within our energetic bodies as well, because all of that then ripples outward and, presents these different messages to the universe.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage, and today we have a beautiful conversation. I'm already lit by this topic because, as you guys already know, I speak often of the sexy as fuck self, the sexy as fuck genius, that part of ourselves that feels alive, that feels radiant. It has nothing to do with what we look like. However, oftentimes our clothing does make a difference. It affects how we feel. It affects how we show up. And so today we have a wonderful guest, Susan Padron, who is an intuitive personal stylist. After giving birth to her son and losing her sense of self, she rediscovered herself through healing an authentic personal style. And she's helped hundreds of women do the same.
Susan, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
So let's touch a little bit on what was your story? How did you come to be an intuitive personal stylist?
So, dressing people and helping them find pieces that were a beautiful representation of how I see them is something that I've always loved to do. For as long as I can remember, when I was old enough to start going to the mall with my friends, just picking out clothes for them and saying, oh, you should try this because this feels like you to me, is something that just felt like such a gift and felt so special. And what I learned over the years is that that was not only just my passion for helping people to, explore their sense of style, but it was also my intuition, my ability to read energies, and my connection to my spiritual gifts that was guiding me on that path. So I had a little bit of an unconventional, like twisty, turny path to kind of get to that point where I was a middle school music teacher for 7 years. Even though styling was something that I always really loved, becoming a personal stylist was never something that I even had on my radar. I didn't know any personal stylists. I didn't even know that that was really a job that I could pursue. And so I followed another passion of mine, which was music. And then I got into teaching. I took some time off when my son was born, and when I was at home with him, that was when, my life really changed in a lot of ways, like it does for most new parents. But in addition to having a newborn, my husband lost his job during that time. I was struggling with my own connection within myself, within this like new form of identity, with becoming a mom and what that looked like, and how I thought that maybe I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, but then living that life didn't feel aligned. So I went back to teaching and realized that I needed to make some big changes and needed to make them quick. So I just happened to be talking to some friends of mine during that time period, where I felt like I need to do something different. Everything in my body, everything within my guides, the universe was like, you need to change. Like, this needs to be a different path for you. You need to make a decision. But I didn't know. I had no clear direction on where to go. And one of my friends told me, that she always loved what I picked out for her, even more than what she would get in her regular like clothing subscription service that she had been using. And she's like, you should work for that. We should work for that subscription service. And that was truly my light bulb moment where I finally realized that I could become a personal stylist. And so I started pursuing that. I started, you know, taking courses, working with mentors, all of those things, while building my business. And then it took me a couple of years of doing that to realize just how deeply connected my intuition and my spirituality were to the work that I was doing. And it was through the transformations and the growth that I was able to help facilitate within my clients that I realized was different than what just a regular personal stylist is doing. You know, like all the other personal stylists that I knew, they, you know, of course, there were the makeovers that you would see, you know, makeover shows and, you know, the closet transformations and all of those things that are fun. But what I really love, even now, you know, 8 years later with the work that I do, is being able to witness my clients truly go through these periods of growth and healing while their personal style is like just this beautiful outward representation of the growth and healing that they're achieving. And I mean, a lot of that obviously can be done through therapy, but a lot of it can also be done with the support of, you know, intuition, whether it's my own or helping my clients connect with their own level of intuition, you know, whether it's their spirit guides and my own that are also helping to kind of facilitate that too. It's just this beautiful soul journey that I am able to be part of with my clients. And it's just, it's a truly beautiful gift, and I love every day of the work that I do.
Yeah, it's such a wonderful topic. It's, you know, as within, so without, right? Even without as our clothing and the things that we wear, and as we transform and we really connect more to that true authentic voice, it wants to be expressed. And clothing, hair, makeup is one of those ways that we express ourselves. And this has been my experience and just my own personal transformation, as well as I see it happen also many times in my clients, just naturally as we go through the process of really connecting to that authenticity. There's so much here I can share with my own personal experience. I had this one experience that really, I mean, I can remember the feelings, the sensations, all of it. It was so visceral. Where I was nomadic for many, many years, traveling and teaching scuba diving, and ended up on this island in Honduras, and my bags never arrived. And those bags were my life. You know, they were known, apparently, I learned afterwards, for stealing bags. And most of the bags they were stealing were just tourist bags that were there for, you know, a short period of time. But that was everything I owned, everything. And so it was a really big deal. And I had just bought a bunch of clothes in Thailand, and just these clothes that I just loved, and I felt so sexy and beautiful, and I just loved them, gone. And I went to the dive shops to get a job while I was kind of like, I was waiting for my stuff to arrive. You know, I didn't realize at first that like I wouldn't ever get it back. And this woman at the dive shop, she was so wonderful. She's like, oh, I have some clothes that I'll give you. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Wow. Wearing somebody else's stuff felt so like I did not feel like myself. And I remember thinking like I wouldn't choose these clothing. It was nothing was wrong with the clothing. It just wasn't what I would have worn, what I would have chosen. And I felt so awkward, like I was in somebody else's skin or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your feeling, your experience with that is so spot on, and something that I witness a lot with my own clients, especially my clients who, you know, their style up until the point of working with me has been curated by someone else, like whether it's a well-intentioned family member or their hand-me-downs or something. There is this truly like lack of connection that my clients have with their clothing. And most of the time it's because of the fact that they weren't the ones to be intentional in choosing those clothes. And in addition to that, I mean, Everything holds energy, right? Clothes, accessories are no exception to that. They deeply hold energy as well, whether it's our own energy that, we've just had our own experiences in, for better or for worse, or it's someone else's. So we really have to be careful about what we're choosing to put on our bodies, what we're including within our energetic bodies as well, because all of that then ripples outward. And presents these different messages to the universe. So if we're wearing clothes that feel like, you're wearing someone else's skin, or you're wearing a costume, or you just don't have that connection to them, then it creates this disconnect and this dissonance that makes it really difficult for you to show up fully as, your best or your most favorite self.
I really love how you talk about the energy and the dissonance, because that's so important when we are, particularly when we're working with, creating whatever we desire, that we're working to vibrationally shift ourselves into a new version of ourselves. Because if we're desiring something, we're not actually yet experiencing it, right? And so there is already a layer of dissonance between our current state of being and that version of ourselves. And we work to, narrow, decrease, and even eliminate that dissonance. And yeah, when we put on clothes that aren't representing that new us, that version of us that we want to embody, then we are continuing to say yes to this old version, right? Yes to maybe something that we don't really want. Yes to, as you wonderfully put, somebody else said this is who you are, or somebody else projected onto us, or it just kind of happened that way. It's something I notice a lot here. I live in Colorado right now, but again, I've been quite nomadic. And here it's very outdoorsy. And so everybody wears like outdoor gear. And like, I don't want to wear outdoor gear. I want to wear sexy stuff. And so I wear sexy stuff everywhere. And it's wow, like I really stand out. And I even catch myself, because these are the programs, right? Like, oh, I'm going to a ch children's birthday party. Well, I don't want to wear this super sexy outfit because like the other moms are not going to be dressed that way. And I'm like, whatever. Like, this is what I want to wear. This is what I'm putting on. I'm headed out the door in this. But just noticing those voices in our head, like, oh, well, don't wear that because the other moms aren't going to be dressed like that. And maybe you'll make them uncomfortable, is so intriguing, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I feel that so deeply, like for myself, and then also with the work that I do. I mean, I'm a mom, but I have a bunch of tattoos, which is, I know, becoming more and more the norm. But like, I have a lot of tattoos. I have like my septum pierced. I also love to dress sexy because that is something that I feel like very deeply connected to. Like, I chose sexy for me. It's like, this is
Yes.
how I feel most embodied. And I also get caught up in that sometimes too, where I'm like, ooh, yeah, if I'm going to a school event, or if I'm going to like pick up my son, like, should I? And I'm like, no, hold on. Like, no, this is just me. Like, what I'm wearing is not offensive. It's just showing my true self, and it's not allowing me to hide. Because I think that especially for moms, especially for parents, once we kind of step into that role, a lot of us, or even caretakers too, I see this a lot, where a lot of us have this shift where we go from being about ourselves and about our own identity to the shift becoming about someone else, which is normal and a completely understandable part of becoming a parent. However, even though your priorities might have shifted, your focus may be primarily about someone else, doesn't mean that you have to go into the background. It doesn't mean that you have to hide. It doesn't mean that you can't stand out because of these roles that you now have in your life. And you can still fully embrace yourself and your identity and who you love to be, and also be a good parent or be a good caretaker, or go to a kid's birthday party and be, you know, a supportive individual there. You know, there's so many things that can coexist that I think we often tell ourselves that they can't, when we actually take that step back and we say, hold on, where did that rule, you know, using air quotes there, like where did it all come from that, mm-hmm. you know, says that moms can't be sexy? Or that you can't live in an area or part of the world that's typically outdoorsy and, you know, lives in like LB in Colombia, Patagonia. But like, you know, you want to be hot and those brands might not feel sexy to you. Like those, you can coexist and be yourself while also living in those environments or, you know, having those roles in your life for sure. And that's something that I feel like I'm constantly explaining and giving my clients permission to really sit with and process and feel deeply. It's that permission to just say, you know, well, hold on, where did that come from? Why are we thinking this? Because we just default to be like, oh, yeah, no, that's what I have to do. I'm mom. Mom's got it covered up because any bit of sex appeal has now died because I have given birth to a child. Like, whoa.
Yeah. No, crazy. No.
Crazy. Like, absolutely not the truth. Like, no way. So,
yeah. It's so interesting how these programs just kind of, we just find ourselves thinking these thoughts. You know, I've never been like a traditional mother ever, not since the minute I got pregnant. But yet, I still find myself having these thoughts. And, you know, I also think it goes hand in hand with getting older, right?
Yes.
And, you know, sexy may mean to some people revealing more skin. Other people, it may not. Like, sexy is our own thing, right? And yet we have these beliefs that, like, yeah, you can't reveal skin after a certain age. Or like you said, well, I gave birth to a child, so now I have to cover up.
Right.
Like, absurd belief structures that are so ingrained from society that we just kind of find ourselves, oh, I'm just moving along with the belief structure. I don't even know why I'm doing this.
Exactly. I know, like, I had a moment, you know, it was, again, like, after my son was born, where I just felt myself going through the motions of accepting these societal beliefs. And then thankfully, you know, whether it was my spirit guides or just my own intuition kicked in, was like, wait, but you're not happy like this. Like, this is not for you. This is not the messaging that you were meant to receive and embrace. So it's time that you start unpacking that and unlearning all of it. And it was not an easy journey, as you know, unlearning usually is not. Well, I think that that's an easy journey to be on, but it's so necessary. And I found that by doing my own work of unlearning and questioning, that's really what's been able to help me to facilitate and hold space for so many individuals so that they can really just sit in the quiet and ask themselves, who am I? Because it's not really something
that
a lot of us...
Such an extraordinary question.
Right? Like, it's just, it's something that so many of us, especially the older that we get, we don't really ask ourselves that question anymore. You know, when you're growing up, when you're little, you're constantly being asked about, you know, what's your favorite color? Like, what do you like to do? All of those kind of questions. And then we get settled into adulthood. You know, maybe we become parents or we get situated in our jobs and or we get married and we just say, like, okay, I checked my boxes on my life timeline and now I'm just going to coast. But the reality of it is that you're not coasting. You're still changing. You're still developing parts of you. Whether or not you're fully aware or connected to it, you are. It's happening. You know, even with just things going on in the world changing around you and impacting you, it's so crucial to take that time to check in with yourself and ask yourself that question of, who am I? And I love beginning the work that I do by asking my clients to just describe themselves. you know, not the roles that they have in their life, although we do address that too, because it's important with your lifestyle and how clothing, you know, interacts with that. But more importantly, like, how would you describe yourself excluding the roles that you play in your life? Especially, I think, for older women, it's, and I say older, I use that term very loosely because, you know, I would really say, like, older women, meaning like beyond 35, not like older as in like a certain age range, but I think that like 35 ish is when we can kind of start that coasting path. And when we really take that time to say, like, hold on, wait, like, who am I? And because it's just easy to default to the roles and be like, oh, well, I'm a mom, I'm a personal stylist, you know, like, this is, I have two dogs, you know, just defaulting to like all of those things. But that tells you a little bit about who I am to other people, but that doesn't tell you about who I am. And if I don't have that connection, if I don't have that sense of self, then I'm not showing up in different opportunities in my life in a way that's allowing people to really see me for who I am. And being able to do that, being able to walk into a room, you know, it could be any room. It could even be a kid's birthday party, but walking into a room and knowing who I am and knowing the kind of person that I want people to see me as is one of the biggest superpowers that I think you can really hold.
Yeah, I mean, it's authenticity, right? And I feel like a lot of people, I mean, I remember myself thinking I knew who I was, but the evolution that I've gone through and who I've stepped into and is very similar to the person I was, but, you know, more expansive, deeper, more expressive, more creative. And I wasn't connected to some of those attributes of self before I had really connected to that authentic self. So I think in and of itself, it is a journey. And, you know, it's interesting because we have our spiritual development happens 35 and beyond.
Yes.
Regardless of sexual identity, that's when the more feminine energy turns on. Mm-hmm. We move out of the masculine driven, ambitious. We move more into being and receiving. And there's a lot of spiritual growth that happens for, again, all sexes in those older years. And then, you know, women have this beautiful initiation through menopause that just isn't even spoken about, but into their wise, powerful selves. And I feel like our society just kind of goes, oh, you're getting older. You go over there and you become bland and now just blend in with the background. Like, exactly. We just want the young folk, you know? And it's like, no, it's time for all of us, particularly those of us who are beyond, you know, 35 or whatever age, doesn't right. really matter. But, you know, to say, no, screw you. I'm not going to blend into the background. I'm going to stick out in my own way. Stick out through my own authentic expression, because we all need this individuation, right? We need this self-expression. Our society needs it so strongly. But it's so interesting because I agree with you that we tend to kind of just fall into these roles in our older years. And yet that is when we are also given the opportunity of massive spiritual development to answer that question of who am I truly? In my most authentic, purest essence of self.
Exactly. Absolutely. I think once we have it. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, I find that people, it's hard for people. Like, just like with me, I didn't understand what I, you know, we don't know what we don't know. We don't remember what we were always. Mm-hmm. So my question for you is, do you find that people kind of like, I mean, it's a little bit of a journey, of course.
Yes.
But what is that kind of first process that you find for people when you start to move through this? Because I would imagine they don't really know what really lights them up as far as clothing.
Yeah. It's really fascinating because often, people don't. They might have a little bit of a sense, or they might be able to see things, on other people, and they're like, "Oh, I like that." But they struggle with bringing that connection back to themselves and seeing how it can really integrate into their life and their body. And that's where a lot of those limiting beliefs can come out too, because sometimes my clients will see something on someone who's a different size or someone who's a different age than them and be like, "Oh, well, I love that. I wish I could wear that." But then
Yes.
they also get caught up in, "Oh, but I can because, I'm," and they fill in all of these descriptors. And it's like, well, it doesn't have to be like that. Like, why? Again, like, who said that that's how it has to be? Let's unlearn that. Let's unpack that. So the way that I like to really step in and start to kind of guide them through that discovery process is by starting out in their closet, starting out with the clothes that they already have and asking them to not just tell me about the pieces that they don't like, because that's easy, right? It's easy for a lot of us to go through our own closet and say, "Okay, like this no longer fits me. This piece has seen better days," or, "I just don't love this. This clothing doesn't light me up," and I'm getting rid of those pieces. But what's equally important is for you to take note of the pieces that you do love or that you did love at one point. So they might still fit into one of those three categories of not fitting, seeing better days, but it's still important to look at that piece and say, "But why did I love this? Or why do I love this? Like, what is it about it?" Because at that point, we're getting information, like you're collecting data really about yourself and about your style, about what's important to you within clothing. Because it could be that you love the way that it looks on her body. It could be that it highlights certain parts of your body in a way that just make you feel good, or that made you feel good when you would wear it. It could be that maybe it's really soft and it just feels comforting but luxurious, and you just love how it feels when it's touching your skin. Or it could be that, it has a really vibrant color, or a certain, there's something about the color to it that always just makes you feel so lit up and like you're glowing when you're wearing it. So again, like all of those are different data points that you are gathering that you probably never thought about. We just think like, "Oh, that's my favorite shirt. I like it." And thought. But when we challenge ourselves to kind of go a little bit deeper there, that's where we start to get information that we can then apply to our own person's style. Right? Because if something like the way clothing feels in terms of the fabric is important to you, then that immediately cuts out a lot of types of fabric that you don't even have to think about, because they're not going to have that same kind of soft quality, that comfort, that, luxurious feel. So immediately your shopping gets easier. Or, if it's how it fits on your body, then we know that we want to look for clothes that highlight similar parts of your body in that way, because the silhouette, the cut, and all of those things is something that's important to you. So again, like having that information, even from our first touch point together, our first set, is so helpful in terms of, the work that I'm going to be doing on my end, but also for my client too, because what with my teaching background, it's impossible for me not to teach my clients along the way. And I love to say that the work that we do together is intentionally sustainable in the sense that, while I have clients that I've worked with consistently for years and I love the relationship that we have, most of my clients, I want them to be those baby birds that leave the nest that can fly and do this on their own. And I can just be that mama bird, like cheering from the nest, being like, "You look amazing," and loving that they're able to do this for themselves. Because it's so much of that, like, self-discovery and that coming back to who you are, and then using clothing and accessories and everything as just the beautiful outward representation of all of that. So if I can give the gift to my clients to be able to do that on their own, then that's really what I love to do. It's the best.
I love the beginning into the questions, because when we ask ourselves questions, right, we become curious and we contemplate, we step into awareness,
Yes.
right? And so just what you were saying, all of these things that you hadn't really thought of, now you have awareness of what is it about this shirt that I really like? And I imagine you could even do it for other things, like you were saying. It reminded me as you first were speaking about like what, oh, like the I really like that on that other person. So this woman came up to me one day and she said, I was wearing a bold necklace and she said, oh, that looks so beautiful on you. I could never wear that. I could never get away with it, I think she said. And I was like, what are you talking about? And so I imagine just what we were talking about of like these belief structures, you could also take, well, I really like that on that other person. Well, why? You know, why do you
Yes.
like that on that other person? What is it about how they look that really lights you up? You know, and you can also use that contemplation because awareness is so huge. Once we have that awareness, it really expands our consciousness. You know, now you can go shopping with that level of awareness. It's really going to shift your way you're perceiving the clothing and just how you're going about the shopping process, I would imagine. Do you
Exactly.
find sometimes that people get the clothing and then they don't wear it, or they struggle to wear it, or like there's a little bit of like, okay, sweetheart, you bought the stuff, put it on, right? Because
Yes.
I've found that in myself, and particularly because I work from home for many years, you know, my mind was like, well, nobody's going to see me, so I don't need to wear anything special. And I started to say, no, screw that. I'm going to wear, like, I'm going to go to my closet and say, what do you want? Sexy AF self, inner queen, what do you want to wear today? And I put on whatever she says, no matter how practical, impractical, comfortable, uncomfortable, like I put it on and I wear it. But I'm curious if that's the what you see in clients where they buy the things and then they don't wear them.
Yeah. So first, I want to say that I love what you were just saying about how you show up into your closet and ask, your sexy AF self, and you're like, what do I want to wear? And then you choose it. That is some of my favorite advice to give people when they kind of get caught up in the decision fatigue. And, because your intuition and connecting with your intuition and experimenting in that way, where you're just going through your closet and you say, what do I want to wear today? And you pay attention to where your focus is drawn and you choose that piece. It doesn't matter what it is, because by choosing that piece, your intuition is telling you something. It's
Yes.
telling you that there's a reason that this is the piece, this is the outfit that you're being connected to. And then it's important for you to kind of pay attention and observe how your day progresses and maybe what it was about that piece that was the right choice for that day, and why you were drawn to it. Maybe it was that you needed to be a little bit softer or more gentle with yourself, or maybe it was that you needed to really own your power and like go into your day with that strength. And, it could be a variety of things, but having that awareness, and while trusting your intuition at the same time, it's just you're doing so much work in such a very like easy little exercise that you can do. Every day, or just on days when you're feeling a little bit, decision fatigued. Either way, it's okay. But going back to your
Yeah, and
question.
you're building that intuitive sense because when we listen to
Absolutely.
our intuition, we take action on it. Hey, guess what? It shows up more frequently.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a really like easy way to just start practicing and trusting your intuition and not letting your ego or your logical mind come in and be like, should we really wear that? Like, no. You're not invited to this conversation.
Exactly. You're not invited to
Yeah, exactly. Like, where's your
party.
invitation? You need to leave, please. You're not on the list. But this is going back to your original question, though, do I see clients that purchase clothes and then end up not wearing them? What's interesting is, yes, that is something that I do see from time to time. And it's usually not a lot of clothes. It's usually, like a couple pieces. And it's from our earlier sessions together. And it's before they really learn to fully trust themselves. What I like to tell my clients is when, we have an at-home shopping session, or whether I'm working with clients virtually and they're purchasing pieces that I've already selected for them, I always, challenge them to try everything, even if it feels like something that they would never dream of wearing or that they think is going to be a no, to try it on and see how they feel about it. Because you need to kind of trust the process, and sometimes they don't always see my vision right away. There are a lot of things that come up, or sometimes it's just a piece that they end up not liking. And again, like, that's okay. But it's important for them to try and explore. But what happens sometimes is they might feel a little bit of a disconnect or a little bit of like discomfort with something, but they don't always feel comfortable saying that or communicating that right away. Even though I try to create this like very safe space where, I want them to voice their opinion. Sometimes we have it so deeply ingrained of that like people pleasing tendencies that we feel like, they need to just default to my response. And my response always initially is like, what do you think of this piece? How does this piece make you feel? Before I voice any opinion, sometimes my clients know this. I can't control myself. I see something on them and I'm like, oh my gosh, you look amazing. And then I have to rein it in and like, it's how you feel. So for the most part, it's that, that safe space of allowing them to voice their opinions, because we often don't get that opportunity, whether we're shopping in stores and, there might be a sales associate with, again, the best of intentions, but that sales associate is sharing their opinion before you even get an opportunity to even look at yourself in the mirror. So already, like that voice, or, if you're shopping with a friend, the same thing might occur. And you don't even have the opportunity to check in with yourself without any other external influence. So, what I like to really help guide my clients through is to develop their voice and their comfort in saying, like, no, I do love this, or, this just isn't for me. And that's okay. Like, that's completely okay. It's all part of it, because having a personal style is a unique representation of who you are as an individual. It doesn't have to be a specific genre. It doesn't have to fit into like a neat, tidy little box. It just has to be an authentic representation of you. And you are different than I am, different than, any other person on the planet, which is what's beautiful about it. No personal style, like no two personal styles are going to look the same, and as they shouldn't. So I find that when clients do purchase things that, they end up not wearing, it can be because they maybe didn't feel completely comfortable owning that, I don't really like this, or like this doesn't feel like me. It can also be because they might need to just sit with it a little bit first and just kind of get used to seeing that there was something about it that made them buy it, something that they connected to. But there has to be a little bit more growth that happens first. And I mean growth obviously from like an internal perspective rather than an external. Like they need to kind of become ready to embrace it. And sometimes it takes a minute. And that's also okay. Sometimes they just kind of have to get used to seeing it there. And they're like, yeah, I love that. And that's in my closet right now. Like, that's for me. And then they wear it and they're like, who's this like bad bee? Like, I love this for me. Like, check her out. And then their whole vibe changes. And then that is like this major door that opens up, where they have just given themselves this tremendous gift of permission, and their whole world opens up. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, again, because it is our expression. And I think it's really, I feel really underrated this personal style, this really connecting to what lights you up as far as clothing. So sometimes we think, well, it's superficial, or it's, but it's not. And it's, and when we understand and really connect to, wow, this really expresses, I really feel like this expresses who I am. And that could be also who I am today, right? Because as you said, our style doesn't fit into a box. And so it can really have quite a variety of expressions. So today, this is my expression, and just how that feels, you know, it's just, it really amplifies our sense of self and amplifies, you know, again, the vibration, the energy that we are desiring, what we're feeling in that day, what we're desiring to bring into the world that day. It's just so powerful. And I love how you brought up, yeah, like sales associates and friends, because I had a client the other day who's doing this with herself. You know, she went to the mall with some friends and her friends were like, oh my God, that's so you. And she was like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
And she like told me this because she found it so intriguing that they were both like, oh my God, yes. And she was like, no, hard no. Like it was a hard no. And, you know, I can't say, she didn't say whether the earlier version of her would have said yes, but it's very easy for us before we start to really know who we are to be like, oh, right. Yeah, it does look good, doesn't it? Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. And then you get it home and you never wear it, you know, or you end up returning it, or, you know, because it wasn't really your opinion. And I think that's really great advice too, for if you're going along with somebody's shopping, you know, give them that spaciousness to feel something first before you tell them your opinion. Or if they ask you, say, well, how do you feel? It even reminds me of a woman the other day who posted on Facebook and she was like, which one of these outfits, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, how do you feel in those two different outfits? You know, like, what is your feeling in them? And her response was like, wow, I didn't even ever think about that.
I know. Yeah. It's so incredible how oftentimes people don't even give themselves that opportunity to think about how they feel in something. You know, they're like, okay, well, I get caught up in the occasion or the expectation, the dress code, because there's so many things that factor in first that people tend to shift their focus towards. You know, is this appropriate, right? That's one that I hear so often is, oh, is this the appropriate thing to wear for, you know, this event? It's like, okay, well, I mean, we can talk about that, you know, in terms of dress code and the expectations of how people are going to be arriving to that event. But when we have all of that taken care of, you still need to come back to, okay, well, which one do you feel the best in? You know, which one makes you feel the way that you want to feel attending that event? Because that's something else that's really important to kind of circle back to, is like, when you're showing up somewhere, how do you want to feel when you're there? And, you know, beyond like comfortable or beyond, you know, professional, things like that, you want to really check in with yourself and say, you know, do I want to feel like I can really command the conversation? Do I want to feel like I look really approachable, or, you know, that I give off this warmth, or, you know, just all of these different things that you can really check in with yourself and reflect on. And then figure out what clothing that you have, or what, you know, you might be shopping for that can help you to achieve that feeling.
Yeah. And, you know, it can really, with women, specifically when we're still cycling, we can really change emotionally, right? And so when we're in, you know, our follicular and our ovulatory phase, we're really much more extroverted and about like bringing ourselves out. And then we go into luteal and bleed, and it's more internal. So it'd be interesting also to kind of play with that, of like just the curiousness, the awareness of how we change, how we want to show up when we're in one part of our cycle versus the other, without judgment, of course, and just the curiosity of it. It just came into my awareness as I said that. So wonderful, Son. This has been such a delightful conversation. I knew that it would be really fun for me. I hope it's fun for you. I'm having a lot of fun. So tell me, how can people find you?
Yes. So my website is definitely the best way to get all sorts of wonderful information. You know, I have really fantastic resources on my website, and as well as a really great newsletter that I put out monthly. And it's SusanPadronStylist.com. So nice and easy. And also Instagram is probably where I am the most active in terms of social media. And it's me that runs the account. So if there are any questions, or, you know, if somebody's been listening to the episode and they're like, oh my gosh, I just have to shoot Susan the message, please do. It's me reading them and responding. So I'm always happy to have, you know, continue the conversation in the messages. And my handle on Instagram is SusanPadron_stylist.
Fantastic. Well, my love, thank you so much for coming on the show and inspiring the guests to connect intuitively to their clothing and also let them know what you do and how you can support them. It's, like I said, just been a delightful conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
And absolutely to the listeners, reach out to her. And I believe she even has like a free connection call that you could jump on with her, get a vibe for her, feel how she can help you. And of course, as always, share this episode. I don't think there's a woman on the planet that can't benefit from this conversation, because there is so much stigma. There is so much subliminal social programming that, like we were talking about, we just kind of subscribe to, and we feel all of a sudden we're moving with this flow that we were like, wait, why did we even say yes to this? It's so important. And it's so important that we all own our unique sexy AF self, so that we can come into the world with that unique expression that the world needs. The world needs your unique expression, my love. Thank you all so much. As always, I love you. I cherish you. Until next time, much love.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.